woods and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network. It's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, your host all over the Great Lakes States. Welcome to another hot weekend. Hopefully we get some rain this weekend as we did last weekend. It wasn't too bad. Got some rain, which was much needed, but it's definitely going to be a great year for antler growth, of course, with these high temps. And if you are using Lucky Buck where you can in the state, then good for you, because that's going to help with your antler growth, and it's also going to help with a lot of other things in the whitetail and wildlife population. Thanks to Lucky Buck for joining us for another year here on Wild Michigan. Also, Darton Archery. Our great sponsors, Darton Archery, putting together their new revised edition of the Toxin 150, a smoking crossbow that I just finally got in the mail the other day. Got to get it out and get it shot and have some fun with it, man. Do some shooting with that new crossbow. I love the new adjustable pistol grip on the front. Make sure you check them out at DartonArchery.com and Lucky-Buck.com. And we're going to talk with David A. Rose, who has been the global traveler in the fishing world lately. And I don't want to forget, I got Drew Youngdyke from MUCC joining me this hour as well. He's just kind of hanging out in the studio. We'll be talking with him a little bit. Talking about the new air bow that's, in my opinion, not a bow at all, because there's nothing that makes it a bow, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But David A. Rose, you just got back from Mexico and from ICAST. Let's talk about the first part. Let's talk about ICAST, man. What was new and exciting? Because this is the term, I'll be honest with you, I can't stand this phrase, game changer. So how many game changers did you find down at ICAST?
Well, you know, first of all, how's this? Well, let me just tell everybody that outdoor writing, which is what I do, obviously sure. Hunting and fishing, is also known as Taco Bell writing.
Taco Bell writing.
That's right. It's how much stuff can you make out of the same seven ingredients?
Dude, I've been saying that my whole life. Growing up in a half-Mexican household, I look at the menu going, dude, there's like five or six ingredients there.
Exactly.
But really, how much can you make out of that?
Yeah, that's right.
You.
And that's what kind of happens in the outdoor world a little bit. I mean, obviously we have, you know, new innovations. I mean, you know, as materials change, you know, something becomes lighter, something becomes stronger, something becomes this or that. So sometimes finding a game changer at some place like ICAST being the world's largest show in the fishing industry. So, you know, companies from all over the world. This time it was in Orlando a couple weeks ago, nice and warm down there and muggy. Excuse me. And sometimes a game changer is a hard one. But, you know, there was something really basic that came out. They ended up winning a best of in their category, and that was trapper hooks. So you think a fishing hook. How can you change a fishing hook? Well, if somebody just wants to look up trapper hooks on the Internet, Google it, you'll see. So they're making some, like, bass hooks and stuff like that. But at the end, you know, between the point and the bend and stuff like that, there's actually a squared off section. And what happens is you end up getting better hook sets and you end up losing less fish because of the way this, when this hooks, the fish's lip actually kind of slides down into this squared off area. It's hard to explain. But so that was really one of the more, I mean, something so basic as a fish hook, yet really one of the more innovative things out there. And of course, you know, there's lots of great electronics and whatnot, but I'm going to say overall, that basic hook was like, oh, look at that. There's something slightly different.
You know, and I'll be honest with you, I saw that. I saw when they were introducing it. And, you know me, I'm forever the skeptic because I've been around this the industry portion of things for 10 years. And I poo-pooed a few things, and I've been wrong. Okay, I admittedly have been wrong about a few things, and I saw this. I went to my instant. Oh boy, here we go again.
Yep.
But after I watched a little bit more, I wasn't very verbal about it, just internally. And I looked at it. I'm like, okay, well, that makes sense. That makes sense. Okay.
Yeah.
So I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where you know, it's just that much more innovative. And of course, now, you know, soft plastics are coming out. They're making them. So, you know, like, you can catch, I don't know how many fish on what we'll call a soft plastic, and the thing just, it's very soft and supple, yet it's not going to tear off your hook. There's all sorts of companies like that coming out with all sorts of different things. And again, that's just how we manufacture things anymore, the new materials that are coming out. So really, that was, believe it or not, a hook. Well, I'm going to say it was one of the more innovative things there. You know,
millions, literally millions of products. And you cannot see, during the whole course of ICAST, you cannot see everything. There's just no way.
No, in fact, there was one other company. I was, you know, some friends of mine run a company, blah, blah. I never saw them. And in fact, I had to email them just this week and go, were you there? And sure enough, they were. And sure enough, I never saw their booth.
Yeah, so. It's you know, you and I have talked briefly over the years about going. I'll see you there. And I see you for like 30 seconds because I have to seek you out because I know where you'll be at. Mm-hmm. And it's I get to talk to you for 30 seconds. I get better conversation out of you on the phone or in person at one of the local shows here.
Yeah.
But it is an industry thing. And they, like ATA is doing now, have made it kind of difficult for media to get in there. And believe me, I'm really sour about that whole thing. And they've heard my displeasure, so I'm not going to go on about it. But look, we have been doing this show. We are in our 10th year now. Okay. Mm-hmm. And we have never had to pay to get into these shows, but because of these small TV shows and some of the other shows that are out there, you know, digging for sponsorships and the like, that is what's ruined it. This is a show to see what is there, not to dig out sponsorships. And I can go off and name about 10 just like in this conversation. You know, that's not what it's for. We go there to see what products are there, to book interviews, and to find out what's new and innovative that we can bring to our listeners. Now we're being shut out because of people in the industry or claim to be in the industry as bloggers or local television shows or whatever that have ruined it for everybody.
Yeah, there's always that thing where the small portion of whatever just... like you say, ruins it for everybody. And it is unfortunate. I mean, if you are truly in the outdoor media, which you are, which I am, blah, 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 yeah, it's a little more difficult to get in. I can kind of see why they did it, but yet I'm sure they'll figure something out. You know, it's just one of those things. But again, they want to keep it. They want to keep the honest people there, you know, like yourself.
Yeah, and $150 isn't going to keep the dishonest people out.
No, that's very true, very true.
So anyway, I digress. Let's find out. Now, you were there with Plano, correct?
Yeah, there's I work with a PR company, and we have a few fishing companies that are there. St. Croix Rods, Humminbird, and Minn Kota was there, and yeah, Plano and Fraybill and Aquaview, and I know it sounds like I'm being prejudiced when I say Trapper Hooks was there. We kind of helped them out a little bit, but they truly were an innovative thing, and yeah, and the like. So there, I was definitely wandering around, making sure other media people got to see some of the new products on those companies I mentioned.
Yeah, I mean, and there's, look, Aquaview, I'll be honest, they have been a very innovative company from the beginning. Look, when I first got my first fish camera way back when as a Christmas present, now with the smaller ones that you can wear around your neck and the full color and with sound that you can record on, it's those have been true innovations in ice fishing and fishing in general.
Yeah, yeah, and now they've got high definition cameras and stuff like that. So it's like when you're watching National Geographic and they got the dive team down there with the high definition cameras, that's actually what you're seeing as you're fishing. It's not a grainy anymore. So it's just, yeah, that kind of innovation, like I said, just as technology progresses, so does the fishing industry.
Well, we're going to talk more about fishing with David A. Rose. He's up in the Traverse City area. And you know, real quickly, David, have you done any fishing in Michigan recently?
No.
Okay. All right. See, and I knew that'd be real quick. So, good. We're on the same page there. I don't have much to talk about with my fishing experiences either because there's been so many other things going on. So we will get to that. We'll find out where Dave has been. We'll find out what he fished for in Mexico and find out if he does plan to do any fishing. And I've got some science questions I want to ask you as well as we move on into the second segment of this interview with David A. Rose, being brought to you in part by Darton Archery. Check them out, dartonarchery.com, a proud Michigan company sponsoring us here at Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
You can join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Cross the line at an hour to time. In a state 94 more miles through the Great Lakes State. Turn it up so the bus ain't late. Another night in Michigan.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I am Duran Martinez in studio. Drew Youngdyke from MUCC kind of hanging out. And we are speaking with David A. Rose, our good friend, angler extraordinaire and outdoor writer of the Taco Bell variety. I'm never gonna forget that, but it's so true. David, I picked up some old 1960s Michigan conservation magazines, 64, 65, 66, some really good years in sporting here in Michigan. And what was really funny, I saw an article from a 1966 issue that stated, alewives are going to be the downfall to all fish in the Great Lakes.
Yeah, and how times change, isn't it?
Yeah, tell me how that went.
You know, I mean, obviously, alewives, for people that don't know, they're an invasive species. They came around the St. Lawrence Sea way back in the 50s, along with the sea lamprey. And, non-native species. And, there were just billions and billions of them, and they were going nuts. And then all of a sudden, you know, we figured out, hey, the salmon might eat these things, so the salmon fishery blooms. And, of course, now everything is opposite, where, you know, other invasive species, such as the quagga mussel, which is really what's really changed everything, those little filtering guys and gals, they like to get down there and to fight zooplankton, and, of course, the zooplankton eats that, and, of course, alewives eat the zooplankton, and if there's no food for the alewives, they're going to take some crashes and stuff like that, and that's exactly what's happening. So the salmon numbers are way down because the food source. So it's all the basis of the food chain right there. And what a difference like 40, 50 years can make, huh?
Yeah, it was kind of incredible. When I looked at that article, I'm like, gosh, you got to be kidding. I didn't really realize what a dramatic effect they had impact-wise as to what our biology thought at that time and how we would be missing them as a food source for our salmon.
Yep, exactly. And, you know, there's other things, too. From what I understand, there's a chemical in the alewives, and when lake trout eat them, it actually knocks their reproductive systems out of whack. And so that's one of the reasons why we don't see a lot of natural reproduction with lake trout, is because of alewives. So, you know, part of that did come true, where they had to stock lake trout and whatnot because there was no natural reproduction because of that certain chemical. So now they're starting to see some more natural reproduction in lake trout. So, yeah, that's... It's an ever, the Great Lakes, all of them, ever-changing. There's no doubt.
Absolutely. And, you know, I noticed, too, that not only the Michigan DNR slowing stocking, and the Indiana has also stopped stocking of salmon in the Great Lakes in Lake Michigan.
Yeah. Everything, I mean, what they don't want is a total crash of the system where every alewife gets chomped on just about by what, if there's too many salmon. And that's what happened in Lake Huron. And, you know, back in the early 2000s and whatnot. So they know it can happen because they saw it in such a massive body of water as Lake Huron. So, and, of course, there's a lot of groups and organizations out there that really think it's just a fallacy. They think, I don't know what they're thinking, but they think the DNR are purposely trying to not stock enough salmon and make the lake trout better or whatever. So there's some conspiracy theories going on out there.
You know, and look, man, there's conspiracy theory with everything. And I think half the listenership here on Wild Michigan are all about, you know, sticking around to see what we're saying, just to have a conspiracy theory about that. And hey, I don't care what you think, just as long as you listen. You know, I mean, chime in, whatever you want to do. We've been doing this for 10 years, and we appreciate it. And David A. Rose is our guest here. You can find a link to him on our website at wildmichiganradio.com. And David, you've been helping us out since the very beginning on this show. We had brief encounters with you prior to that, and now we do this, as where you are a regular guest on here. Talk a little bit about your trip to Mexico, because, look, we both know the fishing for both of us, and we'll throw Drew into this mix as well, that we've not been fishing in Michigan this year. It just time and everything else. But you, Mr. Lucky, have been to Mexico.
Yeah, I went down with the fine folks at Hummingbird Sonar when we went to Lake El Salto. So, kind of the central Mexico area on the western end, the western shore. It's up in the mountains a little bit. It's about 30 miles from the ocean. It is probably the most well-known lake for largemouth bass in the world because the bass there grow twice as fast as a normal bass. It was this reservoir was created in 1986, stocked with the Florida strain bass, which are very big bass and very aggressive. And there was no fishing on it for 4 years till everything took hold. And now, I mean, if you want to catch, I mean, your goal is to catch a 10-pound or bigger largemouth. I mean, wow. That's your goal. That's finally where the trophy sets in. Now, I landed a 7.5, nice fish. My boat partner landed an 8.5, unbelievable fish. Still wasn't that 10. Now, we had several in our group that did land largemouth bass over 10 pounds out of there. Excuse me. So, yeah, that's what Lake El Salto is known for. Now, you're not in the resort part of Mexico. We're going to tell you that. The lodge we stayed at, the Angler's Inn, excellent. Clean, just overly friendly staff, help you out any way possible. They get you on the water before daylight. You do some top water. You're off the water by about 11 in the morning because, hey, it's Mexico. It's hot. So you go back, have some lunch, get in your air-conditioned room, take a little siesta. You're back on the water by 4:30, 5 o'clock in the evening, and fish till dark, and you come in and have dinner. So you're on the water a couple times. I mean, you can stay out all day if you wanted to, but it was warm. There's no doubt about it. We were all part of that same heat wave that came through the Midwest last week, too.
Oh, so. Yay.
Yeah.
Yeah, having been to Mexico and Texas, I know the heat is, I don't care, dry heat or otherwise, it's not comfortable.
No, it's not, and it was very humid where we were at. In fact, when I got back, my wife said she was kind of complaining about the heat, and I wasn't bragging, but I was like, this is actually really kind of nice. It was very different, but the fishing was unbelievable. The catch, I mean, you're talking about a 5-pound average largemouth bass, and they grow twice as fast. So it takes only 6 years for a bass to grow to 10 pounds in there. So they're very young, and they're aggressive. I mean, I caught that 7.5-pounder. I had to lighten up on the drag. I'm using 20-pound test. Yeah, 20-pound test. I caught it on a lizard. I had to lighten up on the. I thought I was going to break my line. Loosen the drag up a little bit. So it's almost like fighting a Chinook salmon. It was just, there are amazing fighters down there.
No, it sounds like a great destination for anybody that wants to get away. You said the accommodations were great, but how was the travel in and out of the country?
It wasn't too bad. They only allowed one check-in bag, which I had.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I was going to have to buy my camera equipment back at the border, and I was saved by a string, literally. The gal went to pull one of my lenses out, which was in a bag, and the cinch string came out, and she kind of got all embarrassed, like she broke my stuff, and finally slid my camera back. But yeah, I was one of the ones who got my stuff checked, and of course I had this big Pelican case full of camera equipment and whatnot.
Sure.
So yeah, it was. I mean, it's, you're going into Mexico. It's just like anywhere, any international travel.
Yeah, and they're just random with their searches too.
Yeah,
there's no real science to it.
No, I had not flown internationally. My wife said, just follow everybody, because she's been to Italy
sure.
and stuff like that. So who's the first one off the plane?
Yeah, that'd be you.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I followed myself.
Don't follow David A. Rose. Just took that lesson. Appreciate you joining us here on Wild Michigan. David, look forward to talking to you again soon. Thanks so much for all the info.
Oh, I appreciate being here.
All right, we're going to come back with Drew Youngdyke from the MUCC next. It's Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
Hey, this is Nick Munch of Michael Waddell's Bone Collector, and you're listening to my main man, Duran Martinez, on Wild Michigan.
Rifle in a gun rack, hanging in the back glass, buck knife on my belt, ain't no lamp for sale around here.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I am Duran Martinez. Thanks to David A. Rose, outdoor writer extraordinaire. He always sells himself short. We love David. He's a great guy. Appreciate you joining us here. Our website, wildmichiganradio.com. You can pick up the podcast there anytime you want. And we have resolved all our podcast issues, so we should have everything back up and running now. And also want to thank our friends at Lucky Buck Deer Mineral. Lucky-buck.com is where you can find them. Now, in studio with me, Drew Youngdyke from MUCC. If you did not go to ATA, which many of you did not, okay, it's an industry thing, which is just, I'll get to the bitterness of that whole thing in a moment. But last year, I did a video with my friends at Crossbow Warriors, and it was a very popular video. It was me shooting the new Crossman Corporation's Benjamin Pioneer Airbow. Okay, this is a gun stock that shoots a projectile through pneumatics. It's you load it up with air. It shoots an arrow, basically, but it doesn't have a nock on the arrow. There is no string. There is no bow, but it's called the Airbow because it shoots an arrow. It's very loud, kind of heavy. It does shoot the arrow projectile very accurately, even at some distance, okay? But they want to have it recognized as a bow introduced into archery season. I say no way in hell, because it is not what we like to consider in the truest sense of archery. Now, look, there was a big controversy with crossbows a few years back, and I'll be honest with you, I was kind of weirded out about that whole thing, but at least there are a number of components that make it a bow of sorts. Okay, just because as a gun stock, it still has a string, it uses a bolt. You know, archery is still, although it being flatter shooting at shorter distances, it's still involved, okay? Airbow, I don't think personally it has any business in the archery seasons, and not legal as far as I know in Michigan. But this is where I bring in my guy, Drew Youngdyke from MUCC. Your stance is very much like mine on this, the MUCC stance.
Right. And actually, the Michigan Bowhunters Association, which is an affiliate club of Michigan United Conservation Clubs, brought a resolution to our annual meeting this year, proposing that we look at the airbow for regulation as a legal hunting device in Michigan, but that we define it as a pneumatic weapon and not as archery equipment for, you know, season purposes. So basically what we're saying is, let's take a look at it. This might be a fine tool to use for hunting, but as you mentioned, the power used to propel the projectile, it's air, it's not a string, it's not archery. And that's what our members said. That's really what the Archery Trade Association has said as well. So nothing against the product itself.
No, absolutely not.
Seems like a really cool product. And the videos we've seen, it looks like it can take down some games. So it looks like it has that power. So, you know, what we're saying is, you know, let's look at it. You know, let's look at regulating it and making it available in Michigan. If after that review, you know, it checks out, but that we don't have it as archery equipment during the archery season. And part of the reason for that is, you know, archery season in Michigan is 3 months long. You know, as you expand the tools that are available to it, you're going to increase the success rate. If you increase that too much, you can't have a 3 month archery season,
right,
if it's getting to the same type of success that you're having during firearm season. That's why it's a shorter season. So a lot of this is about balancing it. So now what happens if you introduce it during archery season? Success rates go up. Now, does that mean that we have to constrict archery season? Now those guys and girls that are out there using actual archery equipment have,
right,
a shortened time of field. So that's one of those things that we look at. So when it comes down to it, though, it uses air to propel the projectile, not a string. It's not archery equipment.
Absolutely. And when you look at it, there's nothing that says anything about a bow to this. It is a straight gun stock that you slide the arrow. I'm going to mind you, the arrow does not have a nock. It's, you're sliding the tube of the arrow down this long pipe, and the air pushes the projectile out through that system. Much, I mean, look, it's along the same lines as a pellet gun or any other air-driven device that shoots a projectile. Okay, I'm not saying this is a bad product. I want to make that very clear. I shot it. I think it's cool. It really took me by surprise, first
right,
of all, as to how loud it was, and as to how you can have an arrow come off of this air-driven device and have it just be a tack driver. Okay, that part's cool, and yes, I could see it in a firearm season. I don't see it belonging in the bow season throughout the course of the year. Now, Crossman Corporation responded to it, and they're unhappy. They're unhappy about this. And what really gets me is Jim Shockey has come out, you know, playing the can't we all get along card about this. You know, we should, you know, make this all inclusive. Well, you know what? They're also paying him. They're, you know, I understand giving everybody an advantage to get out during bow season, but this is not a bow.
So I have a tremendous amount of respect for Jim Shockey.
As do
I. I know you do too. His show Uncharted, I think, is one of the coolest out there. I think he is a tremendous ambassador for hunting. He does endorse the air bow, and that's fine. As we mentioned, you know, our position as an organization isn't that there's anything wrong with the tool itself. In fact, MUCC just a couple years ago adopted a resolution and got a regulations change to allow air rifles during the firearm season. So, you know, we're all about expanding opportunity. It seems like it's a cool tool. So all we're saying is it's just not archery. And
absolutely,
there's nothing that's, you know, can't we all just get along or anything like that, that conflicts with that. It might be a really cool tool. We'd like to see it evaluated for possible inclusion. Right now, you can't use it at all in Michigan. So our resolution actually says, let's look at that. Maybe we can use it in Michigan.
Right.
That would definitely help Crossman. We're just saying that during the archery season.
You know, and again, you know, I know I'm coming off as angry on this thing, and I am not against Jim Shockey. Look, if there's a guy that's probably more well-versed
in
all forms of hunting, not to mention just his world knowledge of everything in general, you can't say anything bad about the guy. He's always been very pleasant, very nice. His wife is very nice, you know, and they're just genuine people every time we've had the opportunity to meet them. And I understand what he's saying about, you know, yes, we can all get along. I just don't think that this has a place during the archery season. Not that I feel it's an unfair advantage, because look, we all miss. Okay, everybody I know has missed at some point in their life. God bless Tom Nelson, but he's missed. You know, I've missed. No matter what it is we use, okay. But you want to have at least during the archery season, make sure it falls under the definition of archery. That's all I'm saying. You know, I think this is a really cool product, and believe me, after the first shot with that thing, I had very mixed emotions about the whole deal. I mean, it's called an air bow, but to me, there's no bow about it.
Right. And you know, I think you hit the nail on the head, though. There's no, like, moral or ethical dilemma with using it or anything like that. As long as it can, you know, take down a game animal ethically and humanely.
Shockey took down, like, a buffalo.
Right, right. So clearly it works. So there's nothing ethically wrong with using it. We're just saying, from a regulatory standpoint,
absolutely,
when we're looking at how many animals are we taking during a given season, should it be allowed during archery? You know, our archery was pushed. It was put into place, the archery season in Michigan, by Fred Bear with the Michigan Bowhunters Association way back when. So, you know, we just want to be careful about what we let in the archery season, because it is a more traditional primitive weapon type of season. So, you know, the air bow is cool, just not archery.
Exactly. And you know what? We'll talk more about the air bow. You know, we'll put up the video that we shot at ATA this year, back in January, which seems like a lifetime ago. And we'll talk about the ATA in a little bit. Drew Youngdyke, MUCC.org. is where he's from. We're going to talk more about the MUCC. Some changes coming to a few things. We'll talk about that. Also, want to thank all our friends at Lucky Buck, lucky-buck.com. Find the links at wildmichiganradio.com.
I still believe.
Hey, Michiganiacs, this is your blood brother Ted Nugent celebrating the almighty Michigan Spirit of the Wild with my blood brother Duran Martinez on Wild Michigan. Go Wild!
Oh.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Ted going to be appearing in Kalamazoo for a couple of shows near the end of August. That'll be a great time. I'll be speaking with Ted on my other thing. The other thing I do at the Classic Rock Station here later on today, but always good to hear from him. Speaking now with Drew Youngdyke from MUCC, MUCC.org, the Michigan United Conservation Clubs. Changes. You got some changes going on to some things, and I will let you announce them here with me because you're in the studio and you can do that stuff.
Thank you. So in a couple weeks, we're going to have our brand new revision of Michigan Out of Doors magazine coming out, hitting mailboxes, hitting some select newsstands as well. So what we've done is we've reformatted Michigan Out of Doors magazine, which we've been publishing actually continuously since 1947.
Wow.
It's had a lot of different iterations really since then. We were a newsprint for a while. We've been a monthly. We've been a little tabloid magazine. We looked like Woods and Water for a while. We've been a glossy since about 1978. A few years ago, we went from monthly to bi-monthly. And when we did that, we had to shrink down the page, the size of the magazine to about 60 pages. What we're doing now is we're actually moving from six times a year to quarterly, so four times a year, but we're expanding the content of each issue. We're going out to about 100 pages, which means we're getting about 40 additional pages of content. And that's really just kind of a really nerdy way of saying we're going to be able to pack more into each magazine. Sure. We're going to be able to cover each season, everything that you do outdoors in Michigan, we're going to be able to cover in long form. You know, you mentioned the taco outdoor writing. We're with David Rose. We're going to try to get away from that a little bit and try to introduce some new things, try to bring in some new topics, some different things, hopefully, that Michigan hunters and anglers and trappers maybe haven't seen yet. Some things that we, you know, get to see when we go to things like the ATA and just bring a different perspective here on Michigan, but still cover. And really, the idea is to tell the complete story of Michigan's out of doors each season with each quarterly issue. So I've been asked and I'm pretty proud to take over the role of editor of Michigan out of doors with this new issue. So we've been working hard on getting this issue out, and that'll be out in a couple weeks.
Because you haven't had enough to do at MUCC. See, welcome to the world of radio. Okay, this is pretty much how it works because, you know, look, okay, you do one shift at the Classic Rock station, you do this, I do a public service thing, and then you do a fill-in on the news show. You got time to do more.
Well, you know, we brought in Sarah Topp, who's our new wildlife volunteer coordinator, a little less than a year ago. So she's really taken over the wildlife habitat project. So she does a great job with that, gets volunteers out all over the state. So, you know, it kind of gives me time to do the public relations thing. And we've been putting together, laying the groundwork for this new magazine for pretty much since ATA. So we're pretty excited to finally be releasing it to the public.
And that may be the reason why that the ATA has gone to their new shift of charging.
Trying to keep me out?
Trying to keep the media out. Because, you know, this is a complaint that, you know, it'll fall on deaf ears to a lot of you, but for the past 10 years, we've been going to the Archery Trade Association show, be it Indianapolis, Columbus, Louisville, Kentucky, wherever it's been, we've traveled there, okay? We go there to find out and see what is new in the archery industry and bring those topics and those guests back to the show here. Well, now, because of the influx of a billion TV shows, everybody's got to have a sponsor. Well, you know what? A lot of these TV shows are going to the ATA show looking for sponsorship, which is not what is for, okay? They have specific rules saying that you are not to seek sponsors at the ATA. And you know what? It happens all the time. Oh, I got to talk to my sponsor. I got to talk to this. You know what? It's not for that. Okay, people like myself, like other outdoor radio shows and TV shows that have been doing this for so long, go there for the intended use of the show.
Okay, right.
But now we're being blocked out.
Well, we got to pay. We have to pay a fee. And, you know, last year was my first year. Hopefully they didn't just pass that because they're like, we got Drew Youngdyke here. We can't let that happen. But, you know, actually what we did is we looked at some different products. And what we were there is, you know, really the reason media is there is to cover those new archery products that are exciting. Actually talked with the folks at Quickie Quiver, who are based in Grand, Michigan, up by Traverse City. They have a new air quiver out. I was lucky they sent me one to test out. So I've tested it out at some archery tournaments and the train to hunt challenge and some backpacking and just really tested out this quiver. And we have a review of how that went that will be in the new fall issue of Michigan Outdoors magazine. And that's really what the purpose of the media being at, places like ATA or the SHOT Show are, is to review those new products, test them out and let the people of, you know, their constituencies, their readers know about them.
And you know, and that too, again, Quickie Quiver never gets enough love, being from Michigan. The first time I learned about them was at ATA, you know, and I'll throw Grayling products out there too, because they do leather stuff. They do leather archery equipment. And, you know, I mean, there's so many small companies that have been in Michigan forever, for 50, 60 plus years, that don't get the national attention that many others do because they don't have that national money coming in. But again, Quickie Quiver, great stuff. And I saw that new quiver at the show as well.
Yeah, the air quiver, not the air bow.
Yeah,
the air
quiver. Nothing to do with the air bow. The air quiver is like super light.
Oh, they had it hanging from a balloon.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, like with the train to hunt, and we'll talk more about that later, you know, we're packing 100 pounds. When you already have 100 pounds on your back, you want the lightest quiver you can get.
Oh, dude, absolutely. Now, train to hunt, we've got a few minutes left in the segment. Give me some info on that.
Sure. So this was the competition down in Pennsylvania. It's a Western competition. This was the first time they had it east of the Mississippi. I competed, and then, of course, I also wrote about it for the upcoming fall issue. I'm going to keep plugging that. Basically, what you do is there's a 3D archery portion. There's a one-mile trail run course with a 100-pound sandbag in your backpack. And then there's a challenge course that has six different kind of CrossFit-style challenges with a target at each one across a mile-and-a-half hilly trail course. And you kind of take the total look at that. It started with the mountain hunting guys out west, but it really helps for Eastern too. I still hunt public land, state forest hills. It helps with that. And really it helps you with your shooting when your heart rate's up. And it also makes sure you're in shape for getting the deer out of the woods too. So it's also been called recently, I think, the ultimate crossbite bow hunting road warrior pound it until you puke challenge. But I think train to hunt has a little better ring to it.
Yeah, I think so. It's a little shorter, a little more to the point. And you're wearing a Mountain Ops shirt. Did you take your Mountain Ops supplies with you?
You know, I was going to say, I've totally drunk the Kool-Aid. I totally drunk the Yeti, which is one of their pre-workouts. You know, this whole hunter-athlete movement has really spawned a whole new industry. Groups like Wilderness Athlete, Mountain Ops. You know, we're not like sponsored or endorsed by them or anything, but you saw at ATA how busy their booth was.
Sure.
That's, you know, I think that's a little bit where it's moving. It's changing the image of hunters. It's really just making sure hunters are healthy so we can stay out there hunting longer.
I was healthy for a while. You know, I like to say I lost 90 pounds, but I just misplaced it. I found a lot of it back. But, you know, my fiance, which next month we're getting married, and you know, it's been a busy, crazy year for both of us, and both of us have gone, you know, we really got to get back to the gym and get back to doing what we were doing, because it was, you know, it was a different lifestyle and everything else. Yeah. But because things have been so busy, you take away from that and you don't get the time to do it. And October's coming.
Right.
You know, October 1st is around the corner.
And I'll tell you what, the coolest part about it, a guy from Michigan won.
Oh, even better.
Oh, yeah. It wasn't me.
It wasn't you.
I was far from the podium, but there were two guys from Michigan, me and Ray Bickle of Vassar, Michigan. And Ray, actually, he's been training like a beast. He wears like a altitude air mask. He shoots every day, and that's really what it comes down to. It's about shooting. All these other things just make it harder to shoot and harder to shoot accurate. So can you shoot accurate when you're breathing heavy? But he shot great. He was a beast on the course, and he took home the gold cam. They give out a cam as a that. So he won it. He the first one east of the Mississippi. So I'm calling him the Beast of the East now.
Right on.
And that's Ray Bickle of Vassar, Michigan. So congratulations to him.
Right on. And we are up in that area too. Vassar's a very cool place up there by Frankenmuth area. And again, congratulations to Ray. Drew, thanks so much. We appreciate you joining us here. And congrats. New magazine coming out with MUCC.org. And if the word gets out to Jim Shockey, we're not bashing on it. Okay? We love Jim Shockey. The air bow, just a different season.
Like I said, awesome. It's cool. It's just not archery.
It's just not archery. And no matter how you spin it, just because it's got an arrow doesn't mean it's archery. All right. Thanks, everybody, for joining us here. Thanks to Darton Archery, which is archery. Both crossbow and vertical bows. Great stuff from them. Lucky-buck.com. Check the website, lucky-buck.com. Find out where you can use it and when, okay? And follow the guidelines from the Michigan DNR as well. I'm Duran Martinez. You're listening to Wild Michigan. Our website, wildmichiganradio.com on the Michigan Talk Network.